A publicly traded game publisher is about to be made private by Saudi Arabia. Plus, Microsoft announced yet another price hike for Xbox consoles. Tonight is September 28th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
Hello, everybody. I'm back after a week off. It's a nice round number for the show, and I'm not doing anything special. But hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 950 of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on Twitch, thank you so much for being here. I do appreciate it, especially when I haven't been here. I wasn't here last week, and I almost couldn't tell people really at the time that I wasn't here because internet sucked where I was. But I am here now. Thank you so much. This is the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. So much so, I was so excited I did that part twice. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, unlike last week, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. But we are a podcast, obviously, and you can join us over on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. And that is where you can talk back to the show and talk about things that maybe you want us to talk about, which I have actually did not pull anything from that. But apparently you can learn things like there is a Picross sale on the Nintendo Switch eShop right now. All of the Jupiter Corporation, which is the company that makes the actual Picross branded games, which is a Nintendo trademark. Picross is Nintendo's trademark for nonograms. They're puzzle games. I'm big into them, but I already have them all. And they even asked, like, even these? And I'm like, yes, even the branded, co-branded ones, I have them all. If you don't know what Picross is, Picross, for the people that are, I'm not going to show it on the video, but on the audio side, you're making a picture. It's nonograms is the general term. It's from Japanese. And essentially, you picture a square, and you have numbers on the top and numbers on the left. And those numbers represent how many squares are in a straight line on that line. And you use that to deduce, and you create a picture. So, like, if it's a 10 by 10 square, and it says 10 in that row, you know that all 10 are filled out. But if one of the columns says one, you know that one of those 10 that you filled out, that's the one. And so you can X out all of the others, rows, and you know that the rest of the rows only have 9 possible, squares to fill in and not 10. But also, if there's like two numbers, like 8 and 1, then you know that there's always at least one blank spot in between a number. And so since there's only 10, spots on the row, you know that there's a line of 8. A blank spot, and then a 1, and that's your 10. So there was Picross actually debuted on the Super Nintendo, and it's actually on the Nintendo Switch Online. And there was a game. There were several DS and Game Boy versions of it as well. But Picross is the Nintendo trademark for nonograms, which are very popular. And my wife plays a different nonogram app on her phone, and that's her most used app on her phone, next to Audible, where she listens to books all the time. But there's a Picross sale from Jupiter Corporation on the Nintendo eShop. Every Picross game they've released on the Switch, which is plenty and many, but I already bought them all, and I bought them at full price. So I am the problem. But you can learn about that over on our Discord server. So... let's go ahead and get into things, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about, even though I understand that, yes, it's episode 950, but who cares? Let's talk about the news. I don't want to talk about the podcast. All right. So I 2 weeks ago, I reported on this story and spent some time about the story about game preservation. And basically, the gist of it is that there is a preservation group in the UK trying to fight the police to get back prototypes from Sega because of Nintendo dev kits that were found by a reseller that deals with office supplies when companies move offices. And they were talking about this being, you know, a big preservation crisis and stuff. And I spent a good amount of time here on the show talking all about this topic. And then a group that I very much respect and a person I very much respect, never met him, never talked to him, but Frank Cifaldi over the Video Game History Foundation, actually made a post on Blue Sky, I believe this week, saying, you know what, hold up, because this is sensationalist. This is not a story because everybody, I guess, is talking to them about, like, well, what about these prototypes? And he's like, okay, look. And I'm going to quote his Blue Sky thread because this is kind of an interesting perspective that I didn't have when I talked all about this, because I kind of sided with the Preservation Society out in the UK saying, oh, my God, this is a disaster. How could this happen? And Frank wanted to point out, and he's basically saying it because there's a fundraiser right now for the legal fees. He says, quote, there's a fundraiser going around about a preservation disaster, raising money right now that I highly advise you to stay very far away from. A particular British tabloid, which is what he calls Time Extension, is running with it unquestionably. The gist of it is that Sega UK was clearing out an office and a recycling company handled the hardware. This ended up including some dev kits and flash carts that probably should have been destroyed, but instead they were sold to someone who tried to resell them on the black market. A well-meaning preservation-minded person sprung into action and tried to work out a deal to digitize some of the game data. The reseller named their absurd ransom price. The preservation-minded person started an extremely public fundraiser to raise that money and collected thousands. That extremely public fundraiser made headlines, including an aforementioned British tabloid. Once again, he's referencing Time Extension. The headlines got to Sega, they realized what happened, and they worked with the police to have their property seized. That seizure may have been sketchy legally, but so was, you know, having the dev kits. To Frank Cifaldi's mind, the story should end there, but said preservation person is now raising money again to try to pay the resellers legal fees to try to get their seized property back. And they're feeding new salacious headlines about a preservation disaster to this tabloid, which is gobbling it all up. Is there going to be some interesting data loss here? Yes. Is that a shame? Sure. But no one was ever supposed to have it, and its owner is stepping in to get it back. So at this point, you just walk away. I have said for years that game preservation walks a fine common sense line. Lots of what I've preserved should not technically have been taken home, but every time I made a judgment call on whether preserving it is going to piss off the wrong people and what the effects might be. No one is going to fight this in courts and win and have a piracy free-for-all. Do not engage with this fundraiser. Do not believe the weird hype. A recycling place, he cursed, hang on. The recycling place up and a reseller flew too close to the sun, and that's as elaborate as this story gets. So yeah, we're gonna lose some history, but you know, the Video Game History Foundation is like, look, if Sega wants their property back, because Sega was part of the warrant, Sega got their property back, it was Sega's in the first place, then you know, that's the end of the story. Like, we have to, game preservationists have to walk a fine line, especially the more legitimate ones that try to be legitimate and that are trying to work within the law and try to get the law changed so they can do more, which is what the Video Game History Foundation does with the U.S. government to try to release copyright for, you know, for libraries and digital libraries and things like that. And sometimes you do just have to walk away when you are legitimate. So I would not put your legitimate money towards this. The reseller had a very absurd price. If the reseller did not name such a high price, which I don't know what it was, but, you know, the Video Game History Foundation would know better than I would. If they did not name such a high price, this would have never happened. So that's going to be the last I'm going to talk of this story, because I spent a lot of time, and even the Video Game History Foundation's like, yeah, a lot of podcasters and YouTubers are going to just run with this story and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was one of those. And so this is me trying to fix that and not be one of those. Dark Tetsuya says, I wish it had ended a bit differently. But I'd rather have Sega have it back than someone charging extortion fees to get it out there. And, you know, people hoarding digital history like this is nothing new. There are people that very much fight preservationists because they have a physical version of something and they want it to retain value. And they believe that if the ROM gets dumped, then it loses its value. And so there are things that are out there that we don't have. That we don't have access to because the people who have them are not allowing for things to be dumped. And this reseller obviously didn't want it dumped until he got his money. And now he has nothing. So it's a shame, but yeah, I mean, it was just development builds in the end. Like, yes, it sucks that we're going to lose this stuff. And it's a nice slice of history. But it was just development builds. It wasn't a game that was fully playable. It probably wasn't even very good at that time. It probably, if anything, I can't remember what it was that we were talking about that it was. But, you know, they probably weren't that good. Because I think some of the stuff never released. And there's probably a reason for that. All right. Let's go from bad to worse. And we're going to talk about a very major long-running game publisher that's going to have a lot of changes, possibly. Now, this is just preliminary talks, but there is actually, these talks have actually happened. This isn't like rumor or anything, but this is something that could possibly happen, and it's going to be great for a group of people and not so great for everybody else. So we're talking about Electronic Arts, and Reuters reports that Electronic Arts is in advanced talks to go private at a valuation of roughly $80 billion. According to sources familiar with the matter. So EA is a publicly traded company. Its stock ticker is EA. And so that means there's a lot of shareholders that have shares in EA. And there is talk of it going private, which basically means another group is going to come in and buy everybody's shares. That, and it will no longer be listed on, I believe it's on, I don't know if it's on NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange. Then it will be delisted. You will not be able to buy shares of it anymore. It will now be completely owned by a group of investors. These group of investors include private equity firm Silver Lake, which private equity firms are why we don't have Toys R Us anymore, or Joann's, or Sears, or things like that, because what private equity firms do is they buy something with its own money. They essentially take out a loan, buy something, and saddle the company they bought with that loan. And then it eventually goes bankrupt. So, private equity firm, but also Saudi Arabia's public investment fund and Jared Kushner's Affinity Partners. They were going to land a deal for the publisher as possibly as soon as this coming week, the sources said. If it goes through, the deal would be marked the largest ever leveraged buyout in history. The take-private offer comes at a crucial time for EA, which is banking heavily on its core sports portfolio and action shooter intellectual property to weather a sluggish video game industry as gamers get picky with spending. Well, maybe if games weren't $80. EA's hopes rest heavy on Battlefield 6, the latest installation in the popular shooter game franchise that has been lauded by fans for its detailed visuals and intense combat, and which many analysts predict will sell millions of copies, as well as its soccer title, FC 26. The deal to take EA private would also mark further consolidation within the industry after titans such as Activision Blizzard and Zynga were swooped up by even larger firms, further reducing the number of publicly listed video game companies. DJ Davidson and co-analyst Wyatt Swanson said, quote, EA does make sense as an acquisition target. The cash flows are fairly consistent, and EA's annualized titles make for predictable revenue and profitability, unquote, which means there's little risk. Because we are the problem. The consumers are the problem. We buy Battlefield. We buy FC. We buy Madden. We buy college football. We buy all that stuff. Shares of EA closed around 15% higher on Friday. Affinity Partners, founded by U.S. President Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has investments from funds in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. Silver Lake has long been known for major technology buyouts and is one of the largest tech-focused private equity firms. The PIF is Saudi's sovereign wealth fund and has bought or made major investments in video game firms through its gaming arm, Savvy Games Group, in a bid to increase its influence in the largest entertainment industry in the world. This group also has a portion of Nintendo, I believe Epic Games. They don't have Valve because Valve is privately owned by itself. The investments are also part of Saudi's Vision 2030 strategy to diversify the kingdom's economy beyond oil. Analysts believe that the interest in EA stems from its highly recognizable sports portfolio, which includes the wildly popular soccer franchise FC, which has a strong appeal worldwide and carries robust revenue potential. You also have to realize that probably the most famous athlete in one of the most famous athletes, if not the most famous athlete in the world, plays football, and I'm sorry, pod culture, but he plays soccer / football in Saudi Arabia. That is Cristiano Ronaldo. Savvy Games Group also owns, I believe, SNK. So I believe the recent King of Fighters has Ronaldo as a playable fighter in the game. And Ronaldo doesn't even voice his own lines. So that is probably partially because, you know, they are trying to make themselves a soccer juggernaut. They have, once again, sorry, pod culture, they have started trying to throw a lot of money around for a lot of the best soccer players and best football players in the world, which is soccer to them, not the American football with the gridirons and stuff that we have here in America. But they've thrown out a lot of money for a lot of soccer players, and a lot of them have taken it because it's way more money than they would ever make in any other football club in the world. And the only reason they say no is because they don't want to go to Saudi Arabia, not because of the money. Lionel Messi is playing here in the United States. He's playing for Inter Miami, which he's getting paid less than Saudi Arabia would have paid him. But he'd rather have his kids grow up in Miami on South Beach than in Saudi Arabia. So that's probably part of the reason it's the sports stuff. Jobs van Druin, games professor at NYU Stern School of Business, says, quote, for Saudi Arabia's PIF, the deal would cement games as cultural infrastructure assets as critical to global influence as sports or film, unquote. And then along with video games, the kingdom has invested heavily in esports and competitive gaming, with its esports foundation having announced a new nation-focused tournament next year, of which EA is a partner. So more Saudi government in our video games, because that's where the money is, and they don't want to just be the oil nation, which there's a lot of problems in Saudi Arabia, but I get it. Like, I get the whole diversifying your portfolio. I get the whole not wanting to put all your eggs in one basket. That is something that we should all be doing. Questbuster says, this story was hugely fascinating to me, largely because EA is such a storied company. Despite its reputation today, this was one of the last of the old guard from the 80s that did everything from music software to games. They, along with Activision, essentially gobbled up everyone else over the past few decades. And by the way, EA is listed on NASDAQ. So there's New York Stock Exchange and there's NASDAQ. They're listed on NASDAQ. Dark Thessia says, Fatal Fury was the game that has Ronaldo in it. And it's him and a DJ that nobody's heard of, but the Prince of Saudi Arabia likes, and they got added to Fatal Fury. And DJ Rama says there was still no reason for Ronaldo to even be in the game. And I agree, because Ronaldo flops a lot. And once again, sorry, pod culture, for putting in a sports reference. Mike Def says, funny that the DJ, which is totally out there, had more heart and passion put into him being a character, and Ronaldo was really just put in there because the Saudi demanded it. And SSJ winner Matt says they also own a golf tournament, which is a competitor to the PGA. So they're going, there's a lot of that stuff going on. Uh, So, yeah. And DJ Ramaz says, the only soccer character that should be in a fighting game is Roberto from Rival Schools. Yes, there we go. So, this has not happened yet, but they are in advanced talks. And if Reuters is reporting it, then those talks are real. But it's going to be great for the shareholders, because people who own shares of EA, they're going to get bought out. And they're going to get bought out at however many, whatever percentage of the company they own. They will get a portion of this $50 billion, however many shares. So if you have, and it depends on your percentage. So like, yes, you could have, oh, I have 100 shares. But if there's like 50 billion share, or not even 50 billion, if there's a whole bunch more shares of it, then, you know, because there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of shares of it. You're not going to become a millionaire, possibly, if you only have like 100 shares of EA. But that's why the price has gone up. Because people are like, ooh, I want to buy, I want to pay out. So maybe if you do play the stock market, maybe get some EA stock. I don't know. And Questbrush says, Saudis have been heavily promoting their esports efforts and in other sports, like the recent boxing event. I also know that the Saudis, do the Saudis own a portion of wrestling now? I know the next WrestleMania is going to be in Saudi Arabia. And I know they've done events over there since, I think, 2018. But I believe now they own a part of wrestling, I believe. Now we're just hitting all the stuff. Chad is kind of arguing. They're like, no, they don't yet own WWE. And other people are like, they own WWE and Evo. I do believe that they did get a thing of Evo. I believe that part's at least correct. But I know that they're doing a lot of stuff out there. It's... yeah, and yeah, so there's a new group called TKO Sports. They own WWE and UFC, but I thought Saudi Arabia had owned a portion of TKO Sports, just like how they own a portion of Epic Games and a portion of Nintendo. They have an interest. They have a financial interest, a financial stake, I thought. I could be wrong. I don't this is a video game podcast, not a wrestling podcast. So why don't we move to another topic? One of those companies that Saudi Arabia does have an investment in, Nintendo. This is we do have a leaving of the guard. Somebody is leaving Nintendo. The Verge reports that one of Nintendo's most recognizable names is stepping down. Today the company announced that the aptly named Doug Bowser, who took over as president of Nintendo of America from Reggie Fils-Aimé in 2019, will be retiring. He will stay on through the end of the year, December 31st to be precise, and will be replaced by Devin Pritchard, who currently serves as executive vice president of Nintendo of America. Bowser, who was in charge of sales and marketing before taking over the top job, was in the role for 6 years and saw a dramatic expansion from Nintendo, which included forays into theme parks and feature films, as well as the recent launch of the Nintendo Switch 2. He said, quote, one of my earliest video game experiences was playing the arcade version of Donkey Kong. Since that time, all things Nintendo have continued to be a passion for both me and my family. Leading Nintendo of America has been the honor of a lifetime, and I am proud of what our team has accomplished in both business results and the experiences we've created for consumers, unquote. In addition to promoting Pritchard, who had been with the company since 2006, Nintendo's American arm will be adding Satoru Shibata as CEO. Shibata currently serves as managing executive officer and corporate director at Nintendo's headquarters in Kyoto and will continue on in both roles moving forward. In a statement about the move, Pritchard said that, quote, Doug has been a fantastic mentor, and I look forward to build on the incredible foundation he has helped establish, unquote. So long, Doug Bowser. I guess we can get that role thing in here. That line in here, people use a different name in the Mario Kart, in the Super Mario 64 meme, I believe that is. But so long, Doug Bowser. So one of the things that is interesting about this is that there is going to be a segment of the gaming population. They have already started complaining because Pritchard's at a different company. Devin Pritchard is a woman, and that has already raised the ire, and people have already said that Nintendo is cooked because of this, when in reality, Devin Pritchard actually has been at Nintendo like 10 years longer than Doug Bowser has, and has been at Nintendo for like 20 years. And Doug Bowser's really only been there for the last 10. So, yeah, like, I don't know what you want. So apparently we'll see how this goes. I do know that there has been some criticism of Doug Bowser regarding the messaging around the $80 games around Mario Kart World. It did not help the situation. So this is probably going to be the right move for everybody. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. So congratulations on your retirement, Doug Bowser. I look forward to see you and Reggie Fils-Aimé tear it up on the talk circuit, because that's a lot. What do? They do a lot of lectures. They do a lot of corporate events. They go on advisory boards, because that's what Reggie Fils-Aimé. I think Reggie Fils-Aimé, is he still on the GameStop advisory board? I don't know. But that's kind of what they do. They do lectures and stuff for, you know, CEO conferences. And so we'll get little tidbits and, you know, we can start asking Doug Bowser where Mother 3 is. And he'll be like, that was your meme with Reggie. That's not your meme with me. Dark Tasia says, I did buy Reggie's memoir when it went on sale. I will have to get back to it. So there you go. Doug can write a memoir. And then the last story that I was going to cover tonight is a sad one for us, because we live in interesting times right now, and I am tired of living in interesting times, but we live in very interesting times where things go backwards. We have been so used to things going a very certain way, and then they go backwards. Kotaku reports that just 4 months after the last time they did it, Xbox is raising the price of the Series X and S consoles in the United States to a number that any of us could have fathomed in 2019 when they announced the system at the Game Awards. Microsoft announced on the Xbox support website saying the price change will go into effect on October 3rd and are, quote, due to changes in the macroeconomic environment, unquote. So the Xbox Series S goes up $20. It goes from $380 to $400. That's the 512 gig. The Xbox Series X 1 terabyte goes up $20 from $430 to $450. The Xbox Series X Digital goes up $50 from $550 to $600. The Xbox Series X it goes up $50 from $600 to $650. And then the Xbox Series X 2 terabyte Galaxy Black Special Edition goes up to $800, up $70 from $730. Pod Culture theorizes that they have to raise the price of the console so the price of the new handheld doesn't seem bad as comparison. Well, what you'll hear a lot on the internet as well, which is not what Pod Culture said, but what you hear everywhere else is, man, remember the old days when the price of consoles went down over time? Why don't we go back to that? Why are these companies being so greedy? They would love to, I'm sure, because they know that less people are going to buy the console. But when all of that, when we were doing that, when the price of Nintendo, the NES went down over time, or the price of the SNES went down over time, or even the price of the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3, when all those went down over time, we didn't live in a world where every week a new higher tariff was added unexpectedly. Which, I know, you can say, I don't want to talk about politics, I don't want to talk... Well, politics cares about you. And they don't have the stock in America, and it would take at least 5 years... And that's being, if you're rushing, take at least 5 years to build the factories here in America to build these in America. And then they would have to have people come over and train them, except, oh, no, we don't want that. Just ask Hyundai about their plant and how United States government actually rounded up all of the immigrants that were in here to train the American workers on how to build the cars in this plant and sent them all back to South Korea. So we want the jobs, but we don't want anybody to come over if they're not American to train people to do those jobs. So they don't have the option of building these consoles in America where the raw materials are still going to be tariffed, probably at even higher rates. And these companies, unfortunately, as much as you're going to hate it, companies exist to make money. And if they lose money, if now suddenly because of the United States government taking a cut of your console, which the company pays, you don't pay it directly. The company pays it. The company actually imported the console. But now they have to pay that, which means if they lose money on a console, unfortunately, the years of companies being willing to lose money on the console and making it up on the games, that era is behind us. That era doesn't exist anymore either. And even then, if they did, a 50% tariff to the United States government is probably more than they're willing to lose. We can complain to the companies all we want, and people will, and they will basically say this is just Xbox being greedy. But hey, the United States government is getting a whole lot of money from your game console. Because I don't know what is the tariff now? It's like, what is it now, 50%? Which is probably several hundred dollars, or probably for every Xbox, several hundred dollars. It's not going to be exactly half of what you paid for it. It's going to be a lower number. I don't exactly know how they determine the value. I think the government actually determines how much the value is. You don't get to determine it. But the country's making a lot of money off of it, which, pays for enforcement. This will probably dissuade people from getting an Xbox Series X, but I do believe, and the PlayStation's gone up in price. The Switch 2 hasn't gone up in price yet, but I do expect it to at some point. But, I would love to see prices of consoles go down too, but not much we can do about it right now in September of 2025. Maybe in November of 2025 we can do something about it, but not until then. It sucks, but I am not willing to put all the blame on Xbox on this one, because when they initially announced the Xbox Series X in 2019 or 2018... whenever they announced it, they did not expect, nobody expected this to happen back then. I think in 2024, we all knew this would possibly be a thing that would happen. Or at least a lot of us did. Some people didn't, but, this is what happens. DJ Rama S says that the PS5 has gone up in price, but not like the Xbox Series prices. We are going to take a quick music break. And then we will probably take calls or something. I don't know. I will figure out what we'll do on the other side of the music break here. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, this is Randy Varnell with Gearbox Software, and I'm happy to endorse my friend Bobby Blackwood and his little podcast thing. Hey, this is Randy Varnell with the Gearbox Software. Happy to endorse my friend Bobby Blackwell and his little podcast thing. Hey, this is Randy Varnell with Gearbox Software. Happy to be here with my friend Bobby Blackwolf to talk about his little podcast thing.
That's the good Randy at Gearbox. Actually, I think it was the State of Play or something, but it had Randy Pitchford and Randy Varnell. And that's the good Randy. That's he's out now, I think, the creative... Chief Creative Officer. He's someone way up there. And the reason I was able to get that bumper is he was at Dragon Con. But not just because of that, but he was my guild leader in EverQuest in 1999 and in 2000. Like, that long ago. I played EverQuest with him. He was my guild leader, and we went through several other games, Anarchy Online, Star Wars Galaxies before they changed it up. I believe we even did a little bit of Star Wars The Old Republic. I can't remember if that happened or not. That was back before I was 29 years old. Absolutely, yes, Sharon and Matt. So, but he got hired at Gearbox in the mid-2000s and now is... kind of like one of the creative leads, and Borderlands 4 came out Some people are enjoying it. Some people are hating the PC optimizations or lack thereof. But yeah, so thank you so much for that. When he was at DragonCon, he didn't even know I was going to be there. I went up and introduced myself, and we hung out and had dinner. And he was he called Gearbox PR Take Two. I think it was 2K or Take Two. Yeah, it's Take Two. It was Take Two, I think, at the time that owned them. He called their PR and was like, Can I do this? And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. Nobody listens to Bobby Blackwolf. It's fine. We don't even know who he is. So it's been a big week. Hades 2 came out, which I haven't even... I did buy Hades 1. I had it on Switch. I bought it full price on Switch. Did not ever complete a run. I didn't make it all the way to Hades, but, you know, I died a couple times. But I got okay. I beat the first boss, I think. So I never played that, but then, Sonic Racing Cross Worlds came out, and, I did try that. There is actually a demo. I thought there was only, like, a limited time demo, but there's actually, like, a real demo of the single player, and I tried it, and, I am not as good at it on its easy mode as I am at Mario Kart, but, that's just because I'm not as used to the Sonic Racing, stuff. But I did play the demo. I played like one Grand Prix race, and it was fun. I don't know if I don't know how many of y'all got it. It is a $70 full price, $70 title. So take that, Mario Kart. It's $10 cheaper than you. But I know that those two games came out this week, and a lot of people are enjoying them. And there is crossplay. What I was sad about is that Sonic Racing Cross World is not what's called Xbox Play Anywhere. Because, yes, you can call it the hype of, oh, this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox. But what I did, because, you know, maybe sometimes I do want to stream things on Twitch, is that if a game is Xbox Play Anywhere, that means I buy it once. Digitally, unfortunately, you buy it once digitally and you can play it on your Xbox Series X or Xbox One or whatever, and you can play it on your PC. Yes, you're playing it through the Windows Store and not through Steam, but I'm buying it once and I can play it in both places, and my save file transfers. I did this with Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, and I did stream that once, but I did it with but my save file works either here on my computer or when I'm on my Xbox, which is in a different part of the house. The Persona games, the same way. Persona 3, I had Persona 3 Portable, not Reload. I had Reload on Game Pass, and it did the same thing. But I had Persona 3 Portable, and I could either play it here on my PC, or I could play it on downstairs. So, but unfortunately, Sonic Racing Cross World is not like that. There is a PC version. It's on Steam. It's on Epic Store. It's not on Windows Store. There is an Xbox version. So, you know, but like, do I really want to buy it on the Xbox? I don't think this game I'd want to get on a Switch 2 just because of all the graphical stuff that's going on with it. It probably runs better on those other on PS5 or Xbox. But now I don't know which one I'm going to get on, or I'm going to get it on PC, which means I can only play it here and I can't play it on a big thing. First world problems. When you have when you bought multiple consoles before a tariff was put in. Esther Matt says, Bobby will get the premium ultimate edition of Forza Horizon 6 because he has the problem. That is absolutely right. I did hear. I didn't watch any of the state. Like, there was a state of play, and I think an Xbox. There were actually, like, showcases this week, and I crashed production at work and on that day, so I kind of had to fix it. Everything's fine now, but... So I didn't actually pay attention to any of that stuff, but I do know that because there were leaks, somebody leaked Forza Horizon 6. It takes place in Japan. They finally, I guess, showed the logo. And yes, I will absolutely... that is the one game series where I literally go in and I pay that $100 for the digital deluxe because it comes with... Well, it's probably going to be more than $100 now, but... In the Forza Horizon 5, it was $100, and that got you both expansion packs, which I knew I was going to want anyway, and the car pass, which I could have done. That part didn't really matter to me. But yes, I absolutely did pre-order and get the ultimate edition. It gave like 3 days early and all that stuff now. So Yeah, so I am the problem with Forza Horizon. But that is, I think, the only game. That and Like a Dragon. The Like a Dragon mainline series. I did it with Infinite Wealth as well, except I don't think I got the premium ultimate edition of Infinite Wealth. I think I only got the pre-order of that. So, yeah. So and now DJ Rama S says, I'm going to wait for a price cut before I pick up Sonic Racing. Mike Def says, I'm going to wait for a Steam sale. What I am actually going to be doing with it, because I still have a service that everybody's like, wait, why would you have that service? And here's why. I still have this service called Gamefly. And Gamefly, this is another reason I like physical media. Gamefly, I can get physical copies of games. I can rent them and send them back. This service literally still exists. They also have 4K UHD movies. So if you like watching like very high-quality movies and not the 4K UHD that you get from Netflix, which is at a lower bit rate, you can – now, it is, you know, quite a – it's $20 a month, $25 a month or something like that. But guess what? Sonic Racing Cross Worlds has a physical edition. So I'm going to have Gamefly send me that. And I'm going to play it that way, play more than the demo. Right now through it, actually, I have just got, last week, Donkey Kong Bonanza through Gamefly, because they also have Switch cartridges. And honestly, in this sense, even if it's a game key card, I think Gamefly can still carry it, because it's still, they send you the physical key card, which gets you the game, but you still have to download it. But yeah. And then if you really do like the game, you can buy it for a lower price. You get a discounted price because you're already paying them $20, $25 a month. Orange Wright says, Gamefly is probably going to be the way I get Switch 2 games, just like how Blockbuster and Hollywood Video is how I got to experience a lot of the N64 library. The downside is it only works for games that are released physically, which less and less games are being released physically. Thankfully, Sonic Racing Cross Worlds is being released physically, so you can either rent it for Switch or Xbox or PlayStation 5. So, but I'm probably going to... I'm not enjoying Bonanza as much. Donkey Kong Bonanza. I did play the demo, and then I got to the same place in the main game. I'm like, this is different, because there's a different character. But anyway, I'm probably going to play Bonanza just a little bit more, and then I'm going to be like, yeah, this game isn't for me, and I'm going to send it back, which means I saved $60 or $70 on Bonanza, because I'm not, I appreciate the tech in Donkey Kong Bonanza, but I'm not as enamored with going any further and continuing the gameplay. It's going to be a great, fun speedrun, and I will thoroughly enjoy watching the speedrun, but I'm not going to be playing that. And Dark Decease says, I'm liking it. It's just really long. I did read what it's like 17 to 18 hours, and I'm like, that's pretty long. Like, I'm getting old. I'm getting old, and I don't have, like, you've got, it's got to be great. Now, because I'm going to sit here and say, oh, I can't do long games, and then I totally put, you know, 100-something hours in Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth last year. I totally put over 100 hours in Persona 5 Royal. Whenever a Persona 6 comes out, I will probably absolutely put 100 hours into that. The next Like a Dragon, I'll do that. But for an action game, I don't think I have the patience for that. The story did not grab me enough to make me really want to go back down and play more of it. And that's just me. But the tech is great in it. It is a little disorienting with the camera movement, but there's not much you can do when you have a completely destructible environment like that. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them to see what's going on in their neck of the woods. And, you know, they were also here last week, so they don't have to cover any news from last week. But I don't think I covered any news from last week either. I think I just kind of skipped the whole week and only covered things from this week. But we like to check in with them and see what's going on in their neck of the woods. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. How have you been? It's been 2 weeks. I haven't talked to you.
I know. It's been a little bit, but did you enjoy the concert?
I did. I did enjoy it. Yes. It was So I went to, last week I was at the Shaky Knees Music Festival, which is a festival here in Piedmont Park in Atlanta. I realized I am too old to do a big music festival. And
well, isn't that in the name?
Well, so yes. And I made the joke every time I tried to sit down and back, I'm like, oh, I got shaky knees. It's supposed to be about dancing, but you know, anyway,
I thought it was an old people joke.
No, whoops. No, it's about your knees are shaking because you're dancing.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of the acts there do cater to older people because these are like the Bane headliners were like huge in the 2000s. And it's not that I'm too old. It's that I'm too out of shape. Let me put it differently. It's not that I'm too old to be there. I am too out of shape because you've been to Piedmont Park, I believe.
I have.
And
yeah.
It's a huge park.
Alan and I went when you got married.
Yeah. It's a huge park. And every band we wanted to see were at different stages at different corners of the park.
But you're used to walking those Pikmin.
Yes. But then there was no place to sit down unless I wanted to sit on the ground.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of annoying about. Yeah. I would much rather be far back from the stage in a seat at my age than try to be down there.
And there's no seats because you're in a park. But I actually took more steps that one day because I only went one day of the 3 days. I took more steps in that one day than I did any day at Dragon Con. Like I walked more here than I did at Dragon Con by like 5,000 more steps.
Wow.
And we didn't get there till like 3:30. So we weren't even there the morning. Like it was 3:30 and then we left at 9:30.
I wonder if you'd get more at a Disneyland day. That's about the only other thing I can think of that probably goes as many steps. I was going to say I was thanking Pikmin earlier this week. So I happened to be in Las Vegas for a work-related trip, nothing to do with the show. And I was heading out and I saw that my flight was supposed to be at 7:30 back home, but it was delayed to like 8:30. It was already delayed by an hour, but I was at the airport early enough. I was like, I see there's a flight leaving to Sacramento right now and it's in the other terminal. And I was like, you know what? YOLO. Cause usually the airline I was flying, Southwest, works choice, not my choice. They don't let you change your flight same day unless you pay for it, basically. But I was like, you know what? YOLO, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run for it. So I ran and thank gosh, I walk all this Pikmin because I got to the gate just in time. They were boarding the second B group. And I'm like, is there any way I can get on this flight? I am on the Sacramento flight that's delayed right now. And because it was delayed enough, it was considered a changed itinerary. And so I was able to do it for free and I got on that flight. So thank you, Pikmin. Then we ended up sitting on the runway for an hour, but I still because the Vegas airport is just a beep show.
Yeah,
But I still got home. I was on my couch with the cats by like maybe I think we determined I was back on the couch with my cats by the time the flight I was supposed to be on was boarding. And they didn't get home till like 10:30. So I was like, you know what? I'm okay with how it played out. And it was funny because everybody on the flight, I was talking to my seat because I was literally the last person, right? I had to be in the C group on a Southwest flight. Yeah. How about that? Probably the last Southwest flight I'll ever take in their old system. And I'm in the freaking C group. But I get in there. I'm the last one on the plane and get in there. And I ended up, I'm like, oh my God, there's one aisle seat left. The stewardess is standing there, but I know I can ask her to move and I'll take the seat. I'm like, I'm taking it. And then as she moves, I realize, oh, she's holding it because the lady next to has a baby. And I was like, all right, you know what? Nope. We are going to be grateful for being on an earlier flight. We're going to be grateful and I'm going to not let it annoy me. And actually, I will say that baby was extremely well behaved. And the lady apologized to me at the end. I'm like, I don't know why you're apologizing. That baby was extremely well behaved. I'm like, and trust me, if there's anyone on this flight who is not annoyed, it's me because I was supposed to be on a flight that's not even leaving yet. So you got nothing to worry about. And that's the fact.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that worked out.
Yes. Pikmin anyway, my Pikmin story turned into an airport drama, but, you know.
And honestly, the walking didn't suck. It was the standing with
my family. Aren't we always asked by our parents when we're younger, like, how are video games going to help you when you get older? There you go.
There you go.
There you go, Mom. There you go.
But, yes, Weird Al's 2000th ever live show was pretty good.
The
downside of that is that it was the 1 hour festival version and not his like full on 2.5 hour show that he has. So it's very condensed. It's basically just the hits. He does several costume changes and then gets off the stage. He didn't even have time to formally tell the crowd it was his 2000th live show. Like, he didn't have any time for banter. He didn't have any time for anything.
That's too bad, because that's kind of what you want to see in a Weird Al show. But you do get the perk of getting to see many bands for one price. So, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, we saw Four Non Blondes, which, if you don't know who Four Non Blondes, they were what's going on. The He-Man meme. Hey, that's them.
It's really just Linda Perry and friends at this point. It's got to be.
It's the old band. They got back together.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, good for them.
Yeah, they got back together like a couple years ago. Because they got asked to do, she went through this whole thing, like how like she got asked to, you know, they got asked to come back for like a show. And then she's like, you know what? I miss this, because she's been a songwriter, like a very talented songwriter for other people for like 30 years. So she started, she started writing songs for the new band. They're recording a new album now with her old band.
Oh, that's
cool. They're just doing festivals. So they're not like touring or anything. But they're doing festivals. I guess the people that do this festival also do some other festivals around the country. So they do a couple shows a year, and it's these festivals. So we went to see them. We saw a little bit of Devo. And they played Whip It really early. So we're like, okay, well, we got to go over to the Weird Al stage, because he's going on right when they're done. But
these really are zillennial bands.
Yes. so we saw Devo, and like right at the halfway point, they're like, yeah, we got to take a break because we're old. Because they only get it, you get an hour set, but they kind of had to they were tired.
Take our age and add 25 to it.
Pretty much. Then we saw Weird Al. Then we actually ate festival food. We actually ate our dinner. Went to go see Vampire Weekend, which was probably one of the younger bands that were there. And then Blink 182 was the headliner. We saw 30 minutes of Blink 182. And we're like, we don't want to ride the train with all of these people, so we're going to leave now and get
home. At least the train is a viable option.
Yes.
My goodness. When we left, so some of the concerts we've been to, especially, I hate the amphitheaters. I hate them. I hate it. But we went, what was the recent thing we saw there? Oh, I saw Kesha with Scissor Sisters, who Alan and I both really like. And Kesha's fun. So we went and saw that show. But we let, like, I actually looked at the Kesha set list online, and I said, we're leaving after this song. And we're going to miss the encore and two other songs, but I'm not putting up with the beepery of the parking lot when this is letting out. So,
It is quite a walk. It was quite a walk to the MARTA station, but with all those people there, I'm like, we didn't want to be trying to get on MARTA at that station with the 100,000 people that were there.
I ended up in that at TwitchCon. Remember TwitchCon Vegas and that whole thing? Yep. And I about had a panic attack because of that when we were young festival. So light rail, not fun to ride when there's a festival going on.
And it was on the Sunday schedule, so they only run every 20 minutes. So, because Atlanta. Saturday night's headliner was My Chemical Romance. So that was...
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. And I believe...
It's your eyeliner. Let's go.
Friday night's, I believe, was Sublime. I believe was Friday night's headliner. But we only went on Sunday because that's when Weird Al was.
I know Sublime has to be a different lineup because he passed away. But anyway, yes.
So video games, what are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Well, we had quite a bit of announcements coming out of not just Tokyo Game Show from Microsoft, but then Sony, kind of came out of nowhere with a state of play. So we'll be talking about those. Also, I want to talk a little bit about a headline the gaming journalists are getting wrong. It's a company I talk about a lot on this show, and I follow, and I'm in all the niche channels, and there's a very obvious thing that, yes, probably your favorite gaming blog is misstating, and I've got the receipts, so stay tuned.
All right, Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
That is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night. I'm not taking a week off again for a bit, unless something comes up. But I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. Or you can find us on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. Or I'm on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com or Instagram at BobbyBlackWolf. That's where you can find me. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make all this work without the people who go above and beyond. Thank you so much. You being here is really all we ask, but some people do sometimes subscribe. So thank you so much, Rin Marie, for resubscribing. Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it and appreciate all the shoot 'em up talk in our Discord. I will never play them, but I'm glad that they're there for others. I'm going to hit the button, and we're going to get out of here. And I will see you next week, and maybe I'll have played Sonic. I don't know when Gamefly is going to get me Sonic Racing, but we'll see. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.